Black Cats Run Podcast. I'm Tristan Black Ingersoll. This is Black Cats Run. This July 2025, I will be releasing my book, The Blood and the Rain. I've been working on this project for several years, and the podcast has been on something of a hiatus as I have been working on the final drafting and revision stages of the manuscript. What follows is the audiobook preface to The Blood and the Rain. It introduces the core argument of the book, that endurance performance isn't limited by physiology alone, but by the brain's regulation of effort, fatigue, and threat. The book builds on ideas explored in Black Cats Run, challenging modern training paradigms and offering a new framework for how athletes improve. It also introduces the multiscalar endurance model, MSEM, which argues for a more nuanced and pedagogical approach to training. It builds on many of the ideas explored in our podcast episodes, but it introduces completely new and original material. The book will be released for Kindle and paperback in early July and hopefully later this summer as an audiobook. Paperback will be on sale for $29.99, but if you contact us directly via our Instagram page at Black Cats Run, you can request to order a signed copy for only $17.99. Enjoy.
Preface. A race is a firewalk. Both are acts of survival structured through perception. Both involve a boundary crossing, a moment when the brain's ordinary predictions about strain, pain, and collapse are temporarily suspended and rebuilt. In firewalking, participants pass barefoot across burning coals, not because the properties of heat and flesh have changed, but because their perception of threat has been altered. In racing, athletes sustain intensities of work that would feel impossible or intolerable under normal conditions. Both require something more than what might be considered normal to complete successfully. However, these are not anomalies. They are windows into the true structure of human endurance. Firewalking rituals appear across diverse cultures. The Anastinaria of northern Greece, Polynesian ceremonial walks, Hindu religious crossings. In each, participants enter a ritualized state, often preceded by fasting, chanting, or communal preparation. They walk across beds of embers that by physical measure should cause severe burns. Scientific observers, seeking mechanical explanations, have proposed theories. Rapid crossing minimizes contact time, ash on the surface insulates briefly, moisture on the skin buffers the heat. Yet careful measurements show these effects are insufficient. Not because these theories are wrong, but because if they were fully explanatory, firewalking would hold no more ritual significance than walking barefoot across a living room floor. People cannot always do what seemingly should be mechanically possible, and when they do, something deeper is at work. What changes during the firewalk is not the coals, but the brain's interpretation of them. In the ritual context, ordinary survival thresholds are suspended. The participant does not become invulnerable, but their predictive sensory model, the brain's forecast of mechanical threat and injury, is temporarily recalibrated. The body crosses, not because physics allows it, but because perception has shifted. Firewalking is a psychosomatic phenomenon in the deepest sense, not imaginary, but the functional alteration of survival behavior through cognitive and emotional engagement. In many cultures, firewalking is explained through narratives of magic or divine protection. The community frames the event not as a recalibration of perception, but as a crossing of the sacred, a transformation facilitated by forces beyond ordinary understanding. Yet, whether called magic or miracle, the effect is behavioral. A human being endures a strain that, outside the ritual, would be unbearable. A race is a firewalk. Athletes often perform workloads in competitive settings that far exceed what they can tolerate in training. Runners sustain paces for hours that feel impossible in isolated effort. Cyclists endure workloads that would collapse them in solo training rides. Even among amateur participants, the phenomenon persists. People who finish thousands of places behind the winner throw their arms into the air in triumph. They mark the act not simply as an athletic accomplishment, but as a personal transformation. This experience is not mechanical. The race environment, the collective urgency, the social witnessing, the structured intensity creates a liminal space. The ordinary predictions of strain and failure are suspended. The brain, calibrating survival risk dynamically, permits levels of exertion it would forbid under other conditions. Racing, like firewalking, is a structured passage through sensory and behavioral transformation. Both are an essentially liminal experience. Liminality, as Victor Turner described it, is the threshold state, the betwixt and between, where individuals are neither what they were before nor yet what they will become. In ritual cultures, liminality serves as a mechanism of personal and social transformation. Firewalking and racing are modern expressions of this ancient pattern, structured experiences where the organism is called to recalibrate its relationship to survival, to strain, to the self. This deepens an essential question. If human beings can endure extraordinary strain under the right conditions, not because their mechanical capacities change, but because their perception of threat and survival is altered, then what truly limits endurance? What governs the withdrawal of effort, the imposition of fatigue, the collapse of output? What is endurance made of? Firewalking and racing both happen. They occur in the real world, which can be defined mathematically and operate within the bounds of laws of physics. They are inarguable in terms of occurrences. Yet the bigger explanation, going beyond the mechanistic explanations of performance, a key insight into the dynamics which leave us wanting more or better explanations, can be found in the frameworks of cultural anthropology. Clifford Geertz, the 20th century American anthropologist, analyzed culture through the twin lens of the real and the really real. The real would be the practical explanations of causality. This might be strictly the physics or hard physiological explanation. The really real is these rituals' cultural and social construction of significance, which act to alter the psychology and behavior of the initiates and other participants. Yet, long before the work of Clifford Geertz, Enlightenment thinkers like René Descartes had already drawn sharp boundaries between mind and body. For Descartes, the mind was strictly the domain of consciousness. The consciousness exerted control over the body through deliberate will. A strong will subjugated the body to the mind. This meant that it was through acts of self-discipline and refusal that the mind was able to compel the body to perform. Reaching back still further, it becomes clear that such thinking echoes the broader Christian belief that the conscious self should overcome the body's susceptibility to temptation and weakness. The seven sins are, in essence, failings of conscious will. A strong mind controls a weak body. Humanity has grappled with the relationship between the across myriad cultures and millennia. Understanding firewalking and racing requires two things. First, we must recognize that both are real phenomena, events that do occur, and that they represent non-normal behaviors, actions not otherwise achievable outside of specific contexts. Second, when science cannot yet fully explain what it observes, the correct response is not to reject science, but to recognize that scientific understanding must continue to grow. Lack of clear observation has often made space for magic, explanations of faith rather than reality. Yet, just because every spring the leaves unfurl too slowly for us to observe their movement does not mean that their appearance is magical. Magic is not real. Acts of will cannot override the physiological, realities of the body. The lack of naked eye observation does not evidence unknowable mysteries. Instead, such slow or hidden unfolding invites further observation and inquiry, not mystification. If firewalking and racing were completely and mechanistically explained by current models, they would lose their significance. In a purely binary world of possible and impossible, feats of endurance would simply happen whenever they were physically feasible. Every athlete would perform at maximal race velocity in every session. Everybody would behave identically under identical conditions. Ritual would vanish, and the extraordinary would collapse into the ordinary. That this is not what happens suggests a deeper structure, one that science has not yet fully mapped. Recognizing that some phenomena exceed current explanations is not a repudiation of scientific inquiry. It is the reason that inquiry must continue. These parallels between firewalking and racing reveal something fundamental. Transformation does not arise from mechanical preparation alone. It emerges from the reshaping of perception, from entering a state where ordinary predictions of threat are suspended and rebuilt. In ritual and in competition alike, human beings prepare for endurance through psychosomatic recalibration, emotional, cognitive, and social restructuring that allows survival thresholds to shift. This reality challenges us to reconsider what we think we know about the limits of the body and mind. It is an act of hubris to believe that we have fully mapped the structures that govern human endurance. Firewalking and racing hint that something deeper, more complex, and more elegant remains to be uncovered. The true mechanisms of endurance have yet to be brought to light. They await discovery, hidden in the spaces between perception, behavior, and survival.